The circuit-riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.
Good evening and welcome to Living by the Sword with Pastor Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers, bringing real news to the heavily propagandized United States. And we're heating up the vacuum tubes to break the news blockade into South America, which is sadly 90% communist and under something of a new Iron Curtain. I got the nicest message from New York City. Sam, where are you broadcasting from? It sounded like you were right here on Long Island. It's nice to know that the New Yorkers are listening, and the fact is you're only about 300 miles from our transmitter in Monticello, Maine. Regular listeners know that I'm not on Long Island. I'm in Mexico's cartel country, broadcasting from the Badlands beyond the Rio Grande, smashing through the old and tired, abominable false doctrines of pacifist Christianity. Along with it, we're going to spin some killer rock and roll, and you talk about East meets West. These are Russians that I met playing on the streets of Santa Monica. Now, 25 years later, they've been all over the world. Igor Yuzov is a refugee, just like me. Perhaps the people of the United States and the people of Russia are not that different, after all.
A telephone call from Istanbul. Раз, два, раз, два, три, хоп!
Chest. I'm at your Romanian hotel back, fast roll across the roll top fast. Oh, the market rolls a blade over and over has fans. The better don't give you your face. I got a telephone call from Istanbul. My baby's coming home today. Oh, send me one of those. Shave my head. Get me out of town. It's all five old sets. Never trust a man in a blue trench coat. Never drive a car when you're dead. Saturday's festival. Oh no, Friday's such a gem. Chantilly lace and a pretty face and a ponytail. Wap pa pow, wap pa da ba da da, wap pa pow, wap pa da ba da da, wap pa pow, wap pa da ba da da, wow wow wow, wap pa da ba da da, wap pa pow, wap pa da ba da da, wap pa pow, wap pa da ba da da, wap pa pow, wap pa da ba da da, wow 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 wow, di da pow, da pa da ba da da, do pa da ba ba, pa da ba da da.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, is the subject of your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. Today, I'm Pastor Sam. I know so many like the Christmas Jesus best, and the Lord Jesus is a baby in swaddling clothes, but the Bible, the New Testament, refers to the Lord Jesus as a military commander and much more than a military commander. Whether a captain in our United States military is an 06 Navy level captain or a still very powerful 03 Army captain, it is an office that has incredible responsibility and incredible command authority. But this word in the Greek, archegon, occurs four times in the Bible, and it's more than a captain. It's the founder. It is the creator of a thing. Just for an example today, you know who's an archegon? James O'Keefe. He's not just the Project Veritas CEO. He is the inventor of it. He built it from the ground up. And so he's much more than a hireling who was put in charge. A ship's captain on the sea has virtually unlimited authority because there is no nation, there is no flag, there is no police force. The only authority on the high seas is the captain of that ship, and it is indeed a frightful authority. So here in our verse of the day, Hebrews 2:10, we see the Lord Jesus as the creator of all things, and all things were not only made by him, but also for him. So this is an affirmation of the deity of Christ, and then the right that he has to be the supreme leader of us who are the saved. Let's read it. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So here's another mystery that's just a mind blow, that the Lord Jesus, even being part of the eternal Godhead, that when he went and suffered what he suffered in the flesh and in the earth realm, that he was somehow made more perfect. Thank you for coming along. If you're listening on KKVV 1060, the Gospel Airship, be sure and catch my Living by the Sword evening show tonight at 6 o'clock every Monday night. It's an hour show. We preview the verses of the day that we're going to study. Sometimes we get to the entire week, sometimes we don't. And I tell a little bit more about what's going on in the missions and what's going on in the jungle. I'm mostly back from the jungle. I have preaching invitations all through the jungle. And I thank those few of you who sowed. Thank you, I said. Thank you to those of you who sowed to help me to go to this pastor's conference in the jungle. Not only did the ground literally shake when this revival started, you can go to my Gospel Gunslinger's Twitter account and see the seismology report, which happened right about when I was broadcasting live from outside the opening meeting of the pastor's conference. Yes, the outpouring that's going on is so much bigger than Asbury. Joel promises, the prophet Joel, that the Lord will pour out his spirit on all flesh in the last days, and that he will send the latter rain and the former rain together, which is cool because there are mainline dispensationalist churches, read, cessationist churches, that really want revival to be a 300-year-old revival where people just get somber, they get serious about the things of God, they don't get too emotional, they don't dance like David danced, they don't all prophesy like Moses said, would to God the Lord's people would all prophesy. That is the former rain that Joel promised. But then there's the latter rain, and there was a beautiful move of God called the latter rain, which evolved into the full gospel businessmen, broke down the clergy-laity barrier, which still was extant in the Protestant church. It had to be broken, of course, for the Lord to pour out his spirit on servants and handmaids, that is, women, old and young, servants, people of high estate and people of low estate. That clergy-laity barrier had to be smashed, and that's why a group of businessmen who did not claim to be clergy stewarded that great movement that was called the Latter Rain. And that's what morphed into the tent meetings, the healing revivals of the 1950s and 60s. So now we're going to get both of them together. Both sides are going to get their way. I'll just read it to you out of the book of Joel. This is chapter 2 and 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The whole idea is that in a harvest cycle in the Middle East, there's a spring planting rain cycle, and then there's a harvest. Just before the harvest, there's a rain cycle. And what the Bible promises is that the Lord is going to send both of those cycles and cram them together at the end of the year, really in the first month. So this is the 11th hour. This is the 11:59. This is the doomsday clock just ready to clang midnight and the nukes to go off. And right now, the Lord is beginning to send the former rain and the latter rain moderately. Yet I digress. We were talking about the earth shaking in Chiapas at the nationwide pastor's conference that I attended. The angel of the Lord even showing up in the frame when I took a quick selfie for the front slide on YouTube. The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Joel 2, verse 10. So aside from the fact that I had a great time worshiping the Lord and met hundreds of pastors and now cannot travel to any corner of the Republic of Mexico without being recognized by a Christian pastor, I also have preaching invitations all through the jungles of Chiapas, which this is the state that borders Guatemala. It's kind of the one of the most rural states. It's a jungle state. There are jaguars running around, and I mean howler monkeys and man-eating crocodiles. It's not a joke. The state police actually have a black boonie hat as part of their uniform. It is jungle. And they had their riot shields all out on the highways just in case a caravan of migrants would come through. So the Mexican president and the state police of Chiapas are making some effort to detain caravans, even though we lost our blockade. When Trump went out, Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador had completely shut the isthmus of Central America. And once Trump left office, immediately the NGOs that are trafficking the migrants started to get all of the U.S. money. I have got so much more news. We're going to talk about the General Garcia Luna conviction. This was basically the head of Mexico's FBI, the feared Polinegros, the black police, the federal police, which were dealing drugs, trafficking migrants, trafficking women and children. Current President Andres Manuel López Obrador disbanded the federal police, and Garcia Luna was arrested by U.S. authorities. And now a ray of light is shining out of the very dark and corrupt U.S. Department of Justice and federal court system that General Garcia Luna has been convicted. In the trial, two Mexican presidents, ex-presidents, were implicated And this is why I live in Mexico, folks. James Comey was heading the FBI at the same time that he was sitting on the board of HSBC, and it's known that cartel money was being laundered through there by the bazillions through HSBC Bank. Nobody is lifting a finger to disband the FBI or to convict James Comey, and in Mexico, President Andrés Manuel did exactly that. Well, he disbanded the FBI. He got a little bit of help from Uncle Sam to convict General García Luna. Let's get back to the Red Elvises. You know, we're playing also on KKVV, the Gospel Airship, in Vegas, baby, Vegas. It may be 3,000 miles from Graceland, but this is the town where Elvis played some of his most memorable performances. This is where Elvis is remembered and impersonated and celebrated even today. And I'm a big fan of Elvis. I do believe that before anybody did anything, Elvis did everything. And how wild is it that the Russians came to America and adopted the Elvis persona and came up with their own genre of surf music with this band, Igor and the Red Elvises? We'll play some more of that in a minute. If you are listening on KKVV, please consider that because of the ad time, you miss my final shortwave-only segment, No Holds Barred. Paul Fisher, a Las Vegas icon himself, my cousin and a great mentor of mine, talked about prohibited wrestling holds and prohibited wrestling moves. You see, he was the son of the circuit-riding preacher, Carrie Fisher. And as a boy in the Kansas Dust Bowl, every time that his father would get moved to a new congregation, he would go to a new school with new kids, and all of them would want to fight the preacher's kid. He got roughed up a few times, I'm sure. But then this happened, and of course he was just a boy when this happened, but being my grandfather's first cousin, he was an old man when he told me. This is what he would tell the boys that wanted to fight him. "I'm not allowed to fight, but I'll wrestle you." One time young Paul was taken aside by his father's friend, Nick the Barber. Everyone called him Nick the Barber, but Paul Fisher assured me, "Nick the Barber did not cut hair." Rather, he was famous for being a gambler and was very streetwise, so anyone who gambled with him got a proverbial haircut when Nick the Barber took all of their money. So Paul said, "Nick the Barber taught me all the illegal wrestling holds." Well, no tough young kid from the new school in Kansas could beat Paul when he had all of those illegal wrestling holds in his repertory. So that's what I'm going to do on Living by the Sword. We're going to have all the fun we can have on terrestrial radio in our 56 minutes, and then internet only and shortwave only, or go to gospelgunslingers.com and hit the archive button, and you will get the full archive without the radio edit, including my final segment, No Holds Barred, because sometimes when we're fighting for our life, we have to use the full Nelson, the pile driver, the suplex, and the alligator roll. All of those buttons are right there on gospelgunslingers.com, to my Twitter, my heavily censored YouTube, my Subscribestar blog, which is almost all free and accessible, articles that you can share where I reference and back up all the zany things that are shouted out here offhandedly. That's where you find my address to send me a letter, a dollar, or a prayer request, and that's where we have our donate buttons in case you want to be part of shaking the world and not just a spectator on the sidelines. I'd invite you. Let's be friends. And now, Igor and the Red Elvises, surfing in Siberia.
If I were you, I'd run!
If you were me, you'd be good looking.
as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. The preachers get this totally backwards. If you listen to a soft-palmed preacher, they'll tell you Moses was a murderer, Saul was a murderer, and God was able to use them. No, Jesus mostly looked for tough customers. He went and looked out in the labor professions, the shepherds of the day. Those guys were like cowboys. They were so rough and tough that they just did not even meld in society. Do you feel like that, guys? You're driving down the street with your diesel and your dual wheels, and your vehicle doesn't fit in the parking space. It doesn't fit in the lane. You have to be an expert driver just to thread the needle and to get that rig down the road. Listen, that's what the shepherds of Jesus' day were like. And these fishermen, those guys were tough. You ever watch The Greatest Catch on the Discovery Channel? Those lobster fishermen and those crab fishermen, they're out in the high seas and stormy weather. Those are the type of guys that Jesus selected to be amongst his disciples. Later came Luke. He was a physician, very meticulous. His gospel account is extremely precise. We've got that example to prove that God loves also and can use the cerebral professional. We also have Matthew, the tax collector. He was there counting the beans and helping himself to plenty of them. So that's a soft-palm professional. I'm just going to ask you this. Why do 90% of the preachers come from those backgrounds when 90% of the disciples were tough, two-fisted gunslingers? Let's read more about Saul called Paul. In your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, the book of Acts, 8th chapter, 3rd verse. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. So he was actually on the high-risk warrant service entry team, the SWAT team. That's what Paul was doing. He finally got a clue that he was fanning the flames and that he was on the wrong side of the law. I just want you to see the aggression, though. This is 9-1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. That is, he was going to kill him. And slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest. Stephen also was slain, and Saul was consenting unto his death, Acts great 1. And this tells at that time there was a great persecution against the church. Continuing in verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. So even the SWAT raids God used to strengthen and to purify his church. But I'm talking to you tough guys out there who think God doesn't want you. There's plenty of room in his army for a blunt instrument. I am one. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who the apostles sent into Asia Minor. Not Boy Scouts, not schoolboys, not seminary graduates. No, people that had been through their baptism of fire. I'm Pastor Sam, and this is your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. Acts 15, 25, and 26. The apostles write, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you, with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." People that had not only seen action, that they had been in mortal combat. Paul later writes in Galatians 6:17, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." That word marks is actually stigmata. So while movies have been made about this and horror, about people developing wounds in their hands and bleeding and oil coming out of their hands, generally those miracles are in the Catholic tradition and they're demonically motivated. When Paul talks about the stigmata in his own body, he's talking about his war wounds, his scars from the beatings and canings and stonings, from his shipwrecks, from being bit by a viper on the island of Malta. I just ask you to consider, who are your heroes in the faith? Who are your elders? Who are your mentors? Who do you look up to? And what have they suffered? Did they get out of school and have just moved from job to job in their career in ministry? Or are they on this other path of discipleship and hard knocks? Acts 15 continues in the 32nd verse, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words, and confirmed them. So Judas, this may be the Lord's brother, Jude, who was one of the 12, but Silas was not. So here is yet another case, along with Philip and his 7 daughters that prophesied, where people are moving into higher gifts and higher offices, even not great in age, but rather being survivors of contact with the enemy. Contact in the military sense, where one patrol bumps into an enemy patrol, and the fur flies, and the bullets fly. This concept of each generation being tested in mortal combat with the enemy is all through the Old Testament, where some enemies were even left around to test future generations. But here we see it clearly, one of several examples in the New Testament where the concept is still alive and is valid today after the cross of Jesus Christ as it ever was in the conquest. Are you willing to hazard your life for the name? Wanted, young, skinny, wiry fellows, not over 18, must be expert horsemen willing to risk death daily, orphans preferred. That was the text of the old Pony Express ad pasted to signposts in St. Joseph, Missouri. Such were the pioneers that made our nation great, from sea to shining sea. Today, also, God is looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few pistol-packing mamas. And I invite you to be among that number, to support your local gunfighter, to help us to broadcast. I want to be your pastor, and I want to be your missionary. Send me a prayer request. Send me a letter. Send me a dollar. You can also do it online at gospelgunslingers.com. Tell me your thoughts that you would like broadcast on the airwaves all the way to Antarctica. My mailing address is Pastor Sam Honnold, H-O-N-N-O-L-D, 7107 South Yale Avenue, number 434, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74136, USA. Let's be brothers in arms. I covet your friendship. Let's be fellow soldiers struggling for our free hemisphere. I cannot be out here on the cutting edge without you. I'm a refugee. I have left all. I am on the front lines, and like the United States military, for every soldier out shooting his gun, even a soldier who's not elite, even a soldier who's not on the cutting edge, have 17 soldiers behind him, cooking, loading trucks, driving trucks, flying planes, fueling vehicles. The apostle writes of the support structure in the Lord's army when he says, "Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges," in 1 Corinthians 9:7, the apostle is stating that the soldier on the front lines needs his brothers and sisters behind him. Would you do that for your brother Sam? Would you help me to stay on the air? Would you write out an envelope, write me a note, put in a few colones or quetzales, some Mexican or Argentine pesos or any of the pesos of the world? Or send me some American dollars while they're still worth something. Someday very soon, they won't be. But above all, I want your inscription. I want your enlistment. I want you to take up the sword. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and take up the sword. Uncle Sam and the Gospel Gunslingers want you. Orphans preferred.
It's the land of the free, and I'll be rocking all night long for all the world to see. And anyone who doesn't want to have fun, you can just stay away. And if you listen real closely, you can still hear my guitar play.
I got a group of banditos that are constantly following me. Yeah, I'm on my way to Vegas. That tune is from the soundtrack of a cult classic movie called Six String Samurai. I haven't seen it myself. Kind of a post-apocalyptic Mad Max film with Igor and the Red Elvises at center stage. It's about nuclear Armageddon as well. Igor served in the Soviet Army. When the wall came down, he got out of the former Soviet Union as quickly as he could, came to America, started surfing and playing rock and roll. Rock and roll was banned, like a lot of people who were imprisoned under the former Soviet system. Igor wanted to be free, wanted to taste of the liberty that we had found. And all that comes from the Bible. All of it's based in the Bible. Now there's been something of a passing in the night, and things are so much more complicated and confused. And we as Americans have drifted so far from our roots. So Igor and I have this in common. We're both refugees from our own nation, the nation that we came from. East meets west, right? Out in the desert, in the apocalypse. One disturbing news point that pertains to the apocalypse. This is from the U.S. State Department. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State, and the heavily globalized diplomatic corps around him. And this is their Spanish Twitter page, USA en Español. So this is where the U.S. government puts out their little propaganda tidbits. And this is a really disturbing, foreboding, ominous tweet. And it's about Equatorial Guinea. There are many nations of the world that speak Spanish, particularly in the Americas, 30-plus nations, and Spain in Europe, kind of, they speak Spanish. It sounds awfully strange if you're accustomed to speaking American Spanish from any nation. But then over in Africa, there are former Spanish colonies, and so there's this one nation in Africa, West Africa, Equatorial Guinea, that is a Spanish-speaking African nation. And that nation is the subject of the tweet. So just consider the propaganda that is going on here. Marburg virus has broken out. The new and deadlier, the new and improved killer virus, Marburg, is supposed to be a serious problem now in Equatorial Guinea. The tweet is full of fluff and tells how Secretary of State Antony Blinken called the president of Equatorial Guinea, Teodoro Obiang, to offer his support to the nation. But for someone who is skilled in reading propaganda, who can read between the lines, I would say this means, Latin America, look out, Marburg virus is coming to you. And when it does, Uncle Sam will be there to get you some new vaccines or something. Oh, COVID was just a warning shot. COVID-19 was only a test to see what people could put up with, to see how they responded to the programming and to the mandates. One more bright spot of news before we move on, and I guess that is that it's possible to take your nation back. So let's look at the tiny nation of Suriname. Suriname is on the northern coast of South America, the Caribbean coast. East of Venezuela, you have the Guyanas, which is eastern Venezuela, is part of the Guyana Basin. And then there is the nation of Guyana, and then little Suriname, and then French Guyana after that. Venezuela really wants all of it. They would militarily take the disputed border region, which is more than half of sovereign Guyana, if they could, if they felt that they had the strength. And there are skirmishes that are happening, mostly naval skirmishes, because massive petroleum reserves have been located offshore in Guyanese and Surinamese waters. So Venezuela really wants that, and as the oil is developed, it's been a few years, and it's already changing these nations from some of the poorest nations in the Americas to some of the wealthiest. To the east in French Guyana is the European Space Agency. All European space launches are made out of French Guyana due to its proximity to the equator. And in the middle is little Suriname, a tiny nation of only 600,000 people. And the population, besides mixing in a small native contingent, is about half of African origin and half of East Indian origin. I've had a bad attitude about Suriname because it was ruled for so long by convicted drug trafficker Desi Bouterse. Under his rule, Suriname was literally a narco state. But 2 or 3 years ago, there was a new campaign, and lo and behold, a real nationalist Suriname First candidate won that election and took power. Chan Santokhi. So that is the president of East Indian origin. He took his oath of office on the Kama Sutra, or was it the Anagata Devita, some kind of a Vedic text. And listen, it's hard for me to be 100% serious about the other holy books of the world that try to compare themselves to the Bible, because it's just ridiculous. I love India as a nation. It's a free nation. They have a proud history in so many respects, but they still, as a government, persecute Christians. I'm just glad that so many of them are abandoning the caste system that's kept them in bondage forever, abandoning their 1 million-plus heathen deities and idols. This is something that even Tulsi Gabbard has got to get off of. She's cool in so many respects. She's a military veteran. She's a self-defense instructor. She's a surfer girl, but she's still worshiping these gods with the elephant trunk and the eight arms and all of that. So President Chan Santokhi is a tough cop. This is his career. He went to the police academy in England. He won the presidency, and he has purged the Surinamese government of so many corrupt elements of Desi Bouterse's narco government. The swamp is not completely drained, yet President Chan has control and the backing of the military, which is a good thing, because now his parliament building has been broken into and ransacked by so-called protesters. This is the continuing globalist assault against any free government, any representative government, any Western-type government in South America. Let us pray for Chan Santokhi. Let us hope that Suriname will find those culpable and will hold accountable the agitators that are attempting in Suriname a literal overthrow. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is in the letter of the Apostle John, the apostle that Jesus loved, the apostle that leaned on Jesus' breast, the apostle that wrote the famous love book of 1 John. Brothers, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's beautiful, and I do not contradict any of that. I do take issue, however, when we find out we've been lied to, when we find that these scriptures have been twisted into something that's grabastic and homoerotic. And the book of 2 John, it's so little, I'm only going to focus on two verses today. This is your gospelgunslingers.com Bible verse of the day. I'm Pastor Sam. Let's read them. 2 John, only one chapter, so this is 2 John 10 and 11. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Wow! Do you know that every Christian feels compelled to show love, to show compassion, to show hospitality, and at the very least, speak blessing to the Christian cultist that comes to their door with their little elder so-and-so name tag or their watchtower propaganda? They know that once they actually cross the threshold, that the odds of them being physically thrown out from that point are virtually nil, that Americans are too cordial, too hospitable, too repulsed by violence. They're just not likely to get ejected as they deserve. And then once they get involved in the very intimate activity of eating together, they have the initiative. They have the initiative against you and your Christian family. So I would challenge you to be obedient to the Word of God here in 2 John. If someone comes with an errant doctrine, do not welcome him into your home. Neither bid him Godspeed. Don't even bless them when they leave. You're going to have to really bite your tongue. But you must understand that he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John 11. Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. in the village where I live, the watchtower has caused so much confusion. And the believers, the legitimate believers that have the Father and the Son, they have floundered and wandered and vacillated. They've been so confused until they learned this principle, to stop letting them into their home, to not eat and drink with them, to not bless them, to not bid them Godspeed, to not see them as believers. I step outside and close the door behind me. You do not win over a primitive tribe by making friends with the witch doctor, no matter what Bruchko says. But you can win them over if you preach the gospel with confidence and with power. I got a report from a man in San Cristobal de las Casas, which is the beginning of the highlands. It is a colonial town. The roads into San Cristobal were only paved in the 1960s. So before that, all the buildings were built with local materials and with occasional vehicles traversing long, long gravel and dirt roads to get there. This man spoke Tzotzil de Chenalo, an Indian dialect from the city of Chenalo, and when I worked in that region in the 1990s, the Bibles were just coming out. I got to take some of the first Bibles up into the northern regions, the highlands, cold, high alpine regions north of San Cristobal de las Casas. I had to speak Spanish very slowly and clearly for him to understand, and he asked me to repeat myself several times because his primary language is the dialect. He told me that the churches are flourishing, that the Pentecostal and full gospel movement is doing very well in those small villages, where before they were overrun with communist guerrillas who just shot all the pastors. And where were they getting support from? From a lot of American churches, bleeding heart American churches. And this was in the 90s. This was before the current wave of wokeness. There was just a slight amount of wokeness and social justice bleeding heartism back then. Nevertheless, many very large churches sent millions of dollars to back this Marxist movement, until by prophecy it was uprooted and cast into the sea. I forget if it was 18 or 19 Christian pastors that had been killed within a year. I think it was 18, and they always wanted to make me the 19th. Nevertheless, I live to tell about it, and their movement did not. Even with the influx of hippies from Chiapas all the way through Central America and into South America, quite a blight that it is, and a love which is completely disobedient to this passage of 2 John. People talk about love, but they don't keep the Lord's commandments, and they allow all kinds of errant teachings and doctrines of demons, and they wonder why they're confused all the time. The year before I started work in those villages, somebody actually crucified some kids. They sacrificed some children, murdered them, and nailed them up to crosses. And these backward people, primitive people, said, "Oh, we need a sacrifice for us, for our people." We'll try to go out with another one from the Red Elvises. Don't crucify me. Don't crucify me. Let's do that right now and then do our final Bible verse.
Rock and roll is dead. You can take me for what I am. I was born a wild man.
The Bible tells us to have the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Yes, now it uses an archaic term, armor, like we say an armory. And what is in an armory? Weapons and ammunition. Weapons, weapons, weapons. We overcome because we have that. Where we're good at it and where we're not so good at it. Even in our off hand, what the martial artists call the support hand, we have the weapons of righteousness there too. Let's take a look at it in your GospelGunslingers.com Bible verse of the day, 2 Corinthians 6:7. Have you noticed that all five of our core verses this week are New Testament verses? Yes, yes. You have to fight the Marcionic heresy where people tell you, oh, that's Old Testament. God was violent back then, there was judgment and justice and death and killing and slaying, and now in the New Testament is all about love. Hey, the love's right here. This is 6:6. By pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by, this is beautiful, by love unfeigned. But right beside it is what we talked about earlier in the week. What is it that really establishes a minister as the real deal? Here he says, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. He says, these are our credentials as the ministers of God. In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Oh my goodness, there were man-eating crocodiles. There were communist guerrillas with weapons. There were necessities as the apostle was eating beans and rice in the Red Cross tent and with the soldiers in their mess hall, like I have done in Chiapas. Yes, sometimes necessities also, sometimes being on the same level with the barbaric people that we're ministering to is a proof of the ordination of God. Now, verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments. Stripes is whippings. This man had scars on his back from being whipped nearly to death multiple times. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And then, verse 7, this is how he overcomes. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Oh, people even lied on the apostle and said that he was a crook, said that he was a con man, as deceivers and yet true. But this is how he overcame centrally, the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. And if you think that's not a sword, it is that, as well as the rest of the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How do you think that mulberry tree uprooted itself? If you're listening on shortwave, stand by for No Holds Barred. If you're hearing this on KKVV Terrestrial Radio, we're going to go out with one more tune by Igor and the Red Elvises. Please consider, maybe there are people around you that act like your friends, but really they're working for the other side.
1, 2, 3, 4! I'm falling in love. She's laughing at me. I work for Taco Bell. She wants a KGB. Everybody, she wants a KGB. She wants a KGB.
Is Mexico a narco state? I'm gonna tell you the real deal here on No Holds Barred. I remember the old days wrestling Greco-Roman in school, and there were a lot of holds that were barred. Techniques that were prohibited, so they didn't even teach them to us. I had to find freestyle wrestlers to teach me later, just like young Paul Fisher had to find Nick the Barber. So I've come a long way from wrestling underweight in the 95-pound class, and I'm still always outnumbered and always up against superior adversaries, but now I face them without limitations. So that's what we do here on this segment. I'm going to tell you what the real deal is. Mexico is not a narco state, even though the cover of El Mañana of Tamaulipas said World leaders are calling Mexico a narco state after the Garcia Luna conviction. Mexican President Andres Manuel himself stated that Mexico could have been called a narco state. Of course, he was referring to 2006 and 2012 when the election was stolen from him because the narco government was controlling the Instituto de Elección Nacional, the voting bureau, which the president is right now in the process of dismantling. And oh, you should hear the politicians squeal, the career swamp creatures squeal about that. Mexico is the one vibrant democracy that's still standing. Mexico is a mighty nation, 10 times the population of Ecuador, just for example. Mexico is not in South America, where it is rodeado, surrounded by communist nations that can run their invasions. You know what a narco state is? Evo Morales' Bolivia, which is still run by his MAS party, they almost escaped. They had a Christian president for 1 year. If Trump had come in strong and allied with her, if the COVID had not been such a stroke against that nation, if it had not been so many decades as a narco state, yeah, they might have made their escape. Suriname is making its escape under President Chan. El Salvador also was a narco state, now breaking free under President Nayib Bukele. His predecessor, Salvador Sanchez, was a narco-guerrilla who ascended to the presidency. Yes, he was a guerrilla commander with the FMLN. Suriname is escaping from being a narco state, and it was a narco state. It was run by convicted drug trafficker President Desi Bouterse, basically from 1980 to 2020, 40 years run by one man. Now they're escaping under President Chan, and what happens? The empire strikes back. They have to send in their agitators, they have to send in their brown shirts with their clubs to bust up the parliament and act like there's this huge populist groundswell against the presidency. No, the people are not revolting, although they are suffering with 50% inflation, heavy loans, IMF regulations. They just want to hang on as a nation, even though they're heavily divided along racial and religious lines. They just want to hang on until the oil revenue comes in and they can reform their nation and come into the first world. Narco states also come from the right. This is neoliberalism. And what state is more of a narco state than the one where Hunter Biden, known drug trafficker, child abuser, and more, is in the White House? He's starting a fight with Russia, and Taiwan is about to pop. China's about to make their move, as in March, the sea state favors amphibious landings.
The circuit riding preacher used to ride across the land with a rifle on his saddle and a Bible in his hand. He told the prairie people all about the promised land as he went riding, singing down the trail.